AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Ladies, welcome to Perspectives with Sherry. I am Sherry, your host, and welcome to a wonderful episode that we've been anticipating today. First off, if you're new over here, this is a podcast that is for women in midlife. It's a safe space where we talk all things health, wealth, and women's empowerment, and all the things that feed into those. And on today, I am happy to have two wonderful guests with me. We are going to have a panel discussion on midlife reset, prioritizing self-care and wellness in 2025. Ladies, it is so, so important. And so I thought, what better way to start this month off by really focusing on how we can prioritize ourselves with self-care and wellness. And so I want to introduce to you my two guests. We have with us Andrea Haughey. She is a yoga teacher and transformation and embodiment coach who helps women navigating divorce to see their midlife breakup as a midlife breakthrough. I love that, y'all. After 16 years of marriage, she went through a devastating divorce in 2022. She spent the next 3 years on her own post-divorce healing journey, dismantling the limiting beliefs. We all need to do that. Coping mechanisms and patterns that had kept her stuck and disconnected from her truest self and her femininity. Through tools and embodiment practices, she helps women to see their experience not as ending, but as a profound opportunity for transformation and to create a new life, one that truly lights them up. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you. I also have with me, ladies, Shannon Dentise. She is a National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach and the owner of E&E Health Coaching. Specializing in supporting busy professionals, she focuses on helping clients reclaim their energy through better sleep. That's a good one. Stress management and living a more fulfilling life while maintaining feel great weight. She is passionate about helping clients create balanced, healthy lifestyles that prioritize flexibility and enjoyment over rigid rules or restrictions. Shannon strives to provide a safe, welcoming virtual space where clients feel empowered to show up as their true selves. Shannon lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and enjoys traveling, reading, playing games, and walking. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Me too. So glad to have you both. All right, ladies. So, like I said, we are going to focus on prioritizing our self-care and our wellness. And so, Shannon, I'm going to start with you on this question. We're going to just jump in there, Andrea, and you know, when you want to. But Shannon, as we move through 2025, How do you see the concept of self-care evolving in response to the modern demands of work and life?
Yeah, that's a really big question. There's so much that's going on and ever evolving. I think one of the big things that people are starting to advocate more for, they had a taste during the pandemic for the work from home experience. And I know there's a lot of offices that are having people go back into work, but I think a lot of people have realized that A, it cuts down on my commute time, or B, you know, I can take a quick walk during my lunch a lot easier, or, you know, whatever it is for self-care to fit those in during the day and be a more productive employee because there is that better balance. So I think there's a lot of offices that are asking people to come back. I'm not sure what the actual data and the numbers is with that, but mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of employees that are hoping to continue to do that, or at least have a hybrid model. And I can see that kind of being a back and forth navigation this year and for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Andrea?
Yeah, I know a few friends that have been dealing with that, going back to the office or being asked to. And I feel like there has been a bit of a shift in the idea around productivity and what that means to, you know, before it was just success is how productive we are, even if it means burnout, overexhausted. And I feel like there was definitely a shift in that in 2020, where people are realizing, if I take rest, I can produce more in this period of time and allow myself, you know, opportunity and space to rest.
Yeah, I agree. I know myself personally. 2020, I worked for the federal government. We were pretty much all sent home. And then around 2021, it started slowly us coming back in the tail end of 2021 and 2022. We are on a hybrid schedule as of now, in the office 3 days, 2 days at home. And honestly, it has changed my quality of life. And yeah. So it really is something to it. And you're right. And that is something that is, I think, happening throughout. Hope it never goes back to the old way, because honestly, it has allowed us to take some time, you know, and kind of like quiet the noise and get some mm-hmm. self-care. Right. All right. Right. That was a good one. So Andrea, what strategies do you find most effective for balancing your personal wellness with professional and family responsibilities?
It's taken a long time to get here, and my kids are teenagers now, and I feel like that, you know, there's a shift in that as well. But it's just finding small moments. I feel like so often we have this idea of like we need a big chunk out of our day, or if we're not committed to an hour of exercise a day, or, you know, this structure, then it's either all or nothing. And that mentality of all or nothing really sets us up for failure. So I feel like just finding small moments of it, taking 5 minutes, you know, if you're a busy mom getting home, sitting in your car for 5 minutes, just to, you know, regulate yourself, to reset your energy before walking into something different. And I think what Shannon said in her thing is like the restriction. I feel like being like devoted to something versus having this, like, this is how it has to look. And if it doesn't look like this, then it's not worth having, or it's just being devoted to feeling good. It's a practice. It's not, you know, a set of rules or a goal you're getting to. It's just something you're practicing every day.
Yeah. I love that. Shannon, did you want to hop in there on that one?
Yeah, I agree with everything. I love the small bursts of self-care, whether it be, you know, taking that short walk or doing a short stretch or journaling or whatever it is that you can fit in. For me, I also need to schedule it I use a Google Calendar on my phone. Actually, I'm kind of in that period between a paper calendar and a Google Calendar, and I use both. So sometimes I'll have paper lists too, but either way, I need to schedule it and make it a part of my day, and not just, you know, when it comes to time, not dismiss it, treat it like it's an actual appointment or meeting, and do the thing, because otherwise it's sometimes hard to, you know, fit it all in too. And it helps you to prioritize it by having it as part of your calendar. Helps your family members realize, hey, you know, this is something that she needs to do at this time. And so that's really helpful.
It is. It is. All right, Shannon, how do you define wellness in today's world? And how has your understanding of it changed over time?
I think I used to be a little bit more black and white. You were either well or you weren't. And I view it more as a continuum now and more of a holistic approach than I did when I was younger. And the way I would define it is that you feel happy. You feel like you have the physical capability to do what you enjoy doing, and you have a purpose to your life. I think if you have those three things, then you are doing pretty well. And, you know, that should help guide you in what you decide to do to care for yourself as well.
I agree. Any thoughts, Andrea?
Yeah, I mean, I love the whole, the holistic approach. And it took me a while to get here too, but my previous life was very, it was about, it was restriction, you know, it was this very strict diet. It was, I have to exercise an intense workout every day, or it doesn't count, or it's not worth it. Rather than this holistic approach of like mind, body, spirit, that's, you know, I shifted more into yoga, and I feel like it's really finding the balance and making sure all areas of your life, you know, you feel grounded, you feel secure, you feel at ease, at peace. And yeah, a sense of purpose where it's not just this constant drive to get somewhere or achieve something, where it's just a state of being and finding.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color changing squish lamps and performance Max drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
That real connection between them all, because they are so connected. You know, your body, your mind, your spirit, it's all connected.
Very true. Very true. I find that as well. I mean, for me, yeah, I always thought wellness was, you know, physically being okay. But it definitely, mind, body, spirit. I mean, if one of those are off, you're just not aligned, and it will show up, can show up physically when it's something that's, yeah, you know. So it's important to pour into all of that, the whole you, holistically. I love that, ladies. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I'm just going to say this too, but I feel like the, you know, the whole hustle culture, or where we get so stuck in our doing, is we don't create space to feel, how are we really feeling in our life? We're just in like onto the next thing, and we don't ever slow down enough. We're just not taught to slow down or to rest. You know, we're taught that like if we're resting, if we're doing nothing, then it's a waste of time, where it's like, if you don't have that space to feel, you're just so out of tune with your body and with your purpose of like, you don't know what's really going on internally, because you're just so stuck in this external production.
I agree. I agree. And I really want to see us as women, or, you know, everyone in general, to stop seeing taking time for rest. You know, we have this thing where, are you being lazy? Or you're not being productive, when absolutely you've got to take that time to recharge yourself, and rest is equally as important as hitting the gym and exercising. I mean, and so some of those negative connotations to really taking care of yourself, I hope we finally dispel those and move forward past all of that.
I also hope that we start to realize more that taking care of ourselves needs to be a daily endeavor, and not something like, when X and Y and Z happen, then I'll take care of myself, then I'll slow down. I've run into that personally when I was working full time as an educator. I just kept pushing myself. I didn't have boundaries, and I kept saying, when I retire. And really, it was, you know, quite a long ways in the horizon, but I still, you know, thought that way. And then eventually I had all kinds of symptoms, and had some health issues that forced me to make some changes. And so if we can realize that self-care is a daily thing, you need to react to that stress response and give yourself some relief from that on a regular basis instead of just waiting for one moment in time down the road.
I agree. That is good. That is really good. And so when this comes to our next question, which we kind of touched on it, but I'm going to ask it. We talked about in a society that often glorifies hustle culture. We just talked about that. What are your thoughts, Andrea, on importance of slowing down for the sake of mental health? We kind of touched on it, but just
Yeah, I mean, just to like double click on it is I grew up in a family where you didn't rest, you know, and it's unlearning that. You have to unlearn those behaviors, and it's so hard because it's ingrained, and sometimes it's in your subconscious and you're sitting there and you're telling yourself the story that you're wasting time, you're not being productive, which is, it's just so like detrimental to our long-term health. And then we're just teaching our kids to do the same thing. Like they're watching us, you know, like run around, think we have to be busy all the time. And again, I just feel like when we just, in our culture, we wear busyness as this badge of honor. And you ask people, how are you? And you hear the response all the time, busy, like I'm busy. And it's like this thing to like prove or be proud of. But we're so busy that we're so disconnected. And I just, I feel like finding that inner connection to, you know, your soul and to your body, even like being connected to what your body really needs rather than just what we think we're supposed to be doing. It really takes slowing down and being intentional about that.
Love that word, intentional. Shannon, you have anything to add in there?
I agree. I think, like I said, if you don't take time, eventually your body's going to give you signs, and then, you know, hopefully this won't happen to you, but then that can lead into some kind of chronic illness or condition. But yeah, the badge of honor thing is huge. And I think not just with like being busy, but I think also with sleep. I haven't heard it as much recently, but, you know, people, it almost seems like they're bragging, I can get by on 4 hours of sleep or five. When research shows that really there's very few people that can thrive on that amount of sleep and the importance of what sleep does for us. And that's another form of healthcare. You know, self-care isn't just yoga and getting massages. It's the whole realm of what you do to care for your body, what your body needs. So I think that's a really important piece too.
I agree.
Yeah. And I have two teenagers. And again, I feel like we're just reteaching the same thing. You know, I feel like most places that teenagers, high schoolers, they start school so early and they're not getting any sleep. You know, these teenagers aren't getting any sleep. And then they're just being taught like, just push through it. You have to wake up, and then now you have to have your whole life planned and you have to know what you're doing the second you graduate. And it's just, there's so much pressure on that rather than being in tune with yourself.
I agree. All right. Well, Shannon, how do you incorporate self-care into your daily routine without feeling guilty or selfish? That's a big one for ladies.
That is a big one because there's so much to do and we always feel like we need to do it all. But in addition to scheduling it, like I said, and usually I'll just kind of have, like if I'm feeling really fatigued and I suffer from migraines too, so sometimes I just don't feel up to things. So a previous coach that I worked with had this saying where she would just ask herself, can I just do 5 minutes of whatever it is, or can I just do 10 minutes? And you know what? A lot of times you get that momentum going and, you know, if it's exercise, especially, you start to feel good and you can continue on. So that's one of the little tricks that I play with myself, or I guess you could call it like the 5 minute rule. I'm just going to do it for 5 minutes. And if I feel like I need to stop, I'll stop. But oftentimes it can continue to go. So just kind of having that mindset of just to take one step forward, and it's okay if you don't continue, but at least you're doing something for yourself.
I agree. All right. Andrea, what roles does community or social support play in your wellness journey, and how can women better support each other in this space?
Community is huge for me, especially when I went through a divorce. I used to own a fitness studio, previous life, and it was just about finding that community. I always say you can really work out anywhere, but finding a place where you feel seen and where you feel like you can show up however you feel that day, and be real and be vulnerable. And unfortunately, again, as society, I feel like as women, we're just taught to, we have to have it together all the time. We have to look like we know what we're doing. We have to be put together. And it just does so much harm because then we're all walking around feeling like we're alone and like we're the only ones feeling like this, when the truth is we're all feeling like that. We're all feeling exhausted. We're all, overwhelmed at times. We're all some days barely getting by. And so having a community, a place where you can really show up and say like, actually, I'm not okay today. And that it's okay and you're accepted. And so, I feel like being more real and vulnerable and honest about where we really are and what's really going on. And social media, it's the same, it's a highlight reel. And we're on there doing this comparison thing of why doesn't my life look like that? Why? And it's just sharing our real selves more authentically. That's where connection happens, and that's ultimately what we all want. So I think being more real.
Okay. I love that. Shannon, you have anything to add in there?
Yeah. In lines of being real, I think different personality types too, maybe need different types of community. So if you're more of an introvert, your community might just be one other person, and that's okay. And if you're an extrovert, maybe those group exercise classes or a different kind of bigger community is fine for you. So I think it's important to not try to pigeonhole yourself into something that you think you should be doing to get social or community support, when really it can be whatever you want. And sometimes it's not just doing an activity with somebody, but just letting a partner in your life or a good friend or a family member knowing what support might look like for you. And it might not be doing the activity with you, but it might be something that you would appreciate if they would tell you every once in a while. Or if you're trying to eat healthier and, maybe stay away from all the sugar, maybe asking them, it's really helpful if maybe take the candy jar to work, and so it's out of my, out of my line of sight or something like that. Social support and community can look a lot of different ways. Or working with a wellness professional could be another way to receive that support too.
Okay, very good. And we kind of slightly touched on this, but next question, Shannon.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You manage digital wellness, finding a balance between staying connected and taking time away from screens for your mental well-being.
Yeah. Sorry, my glasses are sliding off and on, so I'm just going to take them off. So digital wellness, or spending time on digital media, social media scrolling, is something that a lot of my clients struggle with, and just people I talk to in general. And it's interesting because when I ask people how they feel when they are scrolling or when they're on their phones, a lot of times you don't get positive responses for how they feel after they spend all that time. A lot of times it's not that you're feeling motivated or excited or fulfilled or in any way. It kind of feel blah or unmotivated or just kind of guilty, like you wasted a bunch of time. And so it's just interesting that we spend all this time doing something that isn't really tied to our goals in life or to something that fulfills us or really helps us in any way. And so I think the first step is to find out kind of what your baseline is if you want to make changes and see how much time you are spending. And I did this for myself, and I guesstimated before I went on my phone to actually see the amount of time I spend. And I was a little bit off from my estimate to what I actually spent. So it was a little bit eye-opening. But I know on my Android, I'm not sure about iPhones. I'm sure you can do the same thing. I think if you go into the parental settings, there's a spot in there where it breaks down how much you're spending on each app. So it could be on Facebook, on if there's like a game you play, whatever, it breaks it down for you. And then you can also set timers on there for different apps too, where they'll shut down on you. And so that's been really helpful for me. But yeah, it's a really big thing. I think it takes away from having time to care for yourself in other ways that actually do make you feel better and help reduce stress.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Andrea, you want to hop in there?
Yeah, there's so much there, but I, like Shannon was saying, I don't know one person that you ask after spending an hour scrolling through social media that's going to say they feel great, but yet we're all doing it. And I feel like the awareness too, like awareness is the first step to change that. I mean, that's great advice, Shannon, is to look, because most of us have an idea of what we think we're spending on our phone and scrolling. And then there's what we really are. And when you can see the reality right there in your face of, oh, it's actually three times more than I thought, that, you know, that perspective changes things. And then also asking yourself, like, who am I following? Why am I following this person? And doing a reset. And to circle back on the last question, you know, of community, is it's okay to change. You know, it's okay to look at your community, your friends, the way you're spending your time and energy and who you're spending it with, and say, like, is this working for me now? And is this working for who I want to be? Because sometimes letting go of things can feel really hard and scary, but it's what's keeping us stuck and where we are when we have this idea of the version of us we want to be or the life we want to be living, but yet we're holding on and grasping to these things that are familiar and keeping us where we are, rather than saying, okay, does this fit my future self and my future life, and being able to change it. So being able to do a detox and say, why am I following these people? Why am I spending time doing this? Why am I going to dinner with these people? Like, do I feel at the end of having dinner with these friends, do I feel inspired? Do I feel lit up? Do I feel, you know, at peace? Or do I feel like a little ick? And being honest with yourself.
Yeah. I love that. Honestly, that is something that I am working through this year. I have a wonderful group of girlfriends that I love spending time with. I want to make more time to do that. But I have learned that moving forward, there are some people that I've had to make the decision to love from afar, because mm-hmm. they just were draining. And we're determined to stay in a state that I no longer wanted to be in. Misery truly does love company. That is a mm-hmm. true statement. So, yeah. And it's not for lack of love for them. It's for the fact that I want more for myself. And so I'm made the choices and in the boundaries. We talked about that some. So I think that is good and very, very important to talk about. So I love that. Okay. So now we are on to our next question. And Andrea, with wellness trends constantly emerging, how do you discern which self-care practices are genuinely beneficial versus those that may be harmful or trendy? I mean, there's mm-hmm. all this stuff. Yeah.
There is. And it has taken a lot of inner work to get to where I am. I had an eating disorder most of my life. I've been in recovery for about 12 years. And you know, it was this constant, I was just so disconnected from my body. And I feel like again, the slowing down, but connecting to your body and being like fully embodied in your life and your emotions, and asking yourself, like, what do I really need versus all of the trends? And diets, getting back to restriction, it's like asking yourself, what do I need right now? Or why am I craving this? Because most of the time when we're craving something, it's really not that thing. I feel like it's just comes back to the slowing down and being in tune with your body and connected to your body, being able to shut out all the noise and to ask yourself, like, what does my body really need?
Yeah. Yeah. Shannon, you want to hop in there on that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like, Andrea, what you said about really tuning into what your body needs, because everyone is so different. And I also think it's important to look at where the sources of information are coming from. And if it's something that seems to be too good to be true, go with your gut. Your gut's usually right, and it probably is too good to be true. And looking at, again, like I said, the sources, because if there's some kind of study that was sponsored by whoever is trying to sell a certain product, well, it's probably, you know, there's a conflict of interest there. And so, you know, maybe not trust that as much. Look for sources of information, studies that are reviewed at least by a medical professional or come from an organization that's reputable. It's a really important thing, you know, not believing everything you read on Facebook just because it's on there, or not that anybody, you know, necessarily does that, but just in case, not everything on Facebook is true. And I think sticking to the things that are classic that we know work. There's some things that are later, you know, said that they're not so great for you. But things like walking is always going to be good for you, or making sure you're getting produce and fresh foods and things like that, and sleep. No one's going to ever come and say that those things are bad. So focusing on those things are really what's going to carry you through.
Yeah, I agree. I know you say a lot of people don't believe what they read on Facebook, but I am telling you, this TikTok stuff, I have a whole group of ladies at work every week. They're coming up with something. Look, I found this on TikTok. I'm trying this. And so it's important, ladies, honor yourself enough to do the research. They are trying to sell products, and, you know, watch out for those TikTok health gurus. Yeah, because they're pushing products. But
I also feel like as women, our bodies are just so different, and our cycles. Again, like as women, we're just taught to ignore that. It's like cycle syncing and understanding, you know, what your body needs with what's going on internally in that moment, and being able to change. Like, okay, maybe this week I do need to just go for a light walk, or maybe this week resting is considered exercise, or, you know, and being able to change and not say, like, and I think that's why the trends of like a strict diet or a workout routine or can be so damaging, because we tune out from our body, and now we're doing the same thing every day rather than checking in with ourselves. We're just outsourcing our power all the time.
I love that. Yeah. Very true. Very true. All right. Next question. What advice do you have for women who are struggling to prioritize self-care due to a busy or demanding schedule? I'm going to just let whoever wants that one first hop in there.
One of my favorite things to do, we talked about the small, even 10-minute segments of doing whatever it is for self-care is really healthy and important, and, you know, an easy way to fit in self-care into a busy schedule. And one of the things that I work with my clients on is reframing. I have 10 minutes. What can I do with it? Because there's so much that you can do, whether it's starting to, you know, cut things up for your dinner, to prep food, or to take that 10-minute walk, to journal, to call a friend and laugh together for 10 minutes, or just close your eyes and just be, because that's important too, just to have time where you shut your eyes and you can just lay there if you need to. But 10 minutes chunk of time, there's more than what you, you know, think you can do with that time.
Yeah, I think it was back to the all or nothing mentality where we feel like if we're not doing this big chunk or this big thing, then it's not worth it. And the mindset of having a goal you're working towards being versus being just devoted to something where it's like, oh, well, I said I was going to run 5 miles or I was going to work out for an hour and now I can't. So now I'm just not going to versus like, I'm just devoted to moving my body every day. And yeah, like Shannon said, at the time changing that mindset of, I only have 10 minutes to, I have 10 minutes. How do I want to spend it? And sometimes it might just be taking a few deep breaths, reconnecting to yourself. Sometimes it might just be walking outside and sitting on the porch and getting fresh air. And it doesn't have to be this big, you know, scheduled hour out of your day.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. All right, y'all. We have got to the last question, and I'm asking this again to both of you. Looking ahead to 2025 and beyond, what changes do you hope to see in the conversation around women's health and wellness, particularly regarding access and inclusivity? Mm-hmm. Whomever wants to go first.
Yeah, one is that we stop seeing it as being selfish or letting go of the guilt. I know this was a question a while back, but for me is just realizing and noticing like, and being honest, like I want to be present for the people that I love. Mm-hmm. I don't want to show up feeling exhausted or stressed or scattered or, you know, like I want to be when I'm with the people I love, my kids, I want to be able to be fully present. I want to feel, you know, good and at peace and at ease and healthy. And so realizing that it's not selfish that to put yourself first. And ultimately those people that you love want that version of you too. Like they want the version of you that is rested, is healthy, is connected to their self and present. And so I feel like that's like that shift of just being able to let go of that guilt would be a massive shift. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Shannon?
Yeah, I agree too. And it comes back a little bit to the social media thing for me, because a lot of times people will show the ideal parts of their life on social media, and you might see a friend and think, okay, they're on top of everything. You know, they have the perfect birthday party put together for their kids, and they have their house perfectly decorated, and they're doing this and they're doing that, but you're not really seeing the reality of everything. And if they're not taking care of themselves, are they truly happy? Are they healthy? All of those things. So just in prioritizing what is most important to you too, so that you can't do everything and you can't do everything perfectly, but prioritizing what means the most to you and really focusing on that is key. I would also like to see more information out there in general for women, help educate women on how to advocate for themselves with medical professionals, because I feel like oftentimes, and there's research out there, there's been studies to support this, so I don't think it's just a feeling I have, but that women are often dismissed, their symptoms dismissed, or, you know, pushed off more than men. And so I think it's important to educate women, what kinds of questions should we be asking when we go to the doctor, and especially around things such as hormones and when we get into menopause, because there's so much that's unknown and there's so much contradictory information out there. So that's one of the things. There's so many things in this category that I could say. I also think removing, there's still such a taboo, it's such a taboo topic to talk about menopause, but it's really encouraging. I've seen webinars recently and different things about workplaces embracing menopause support for their female employees. And which was interesting to me because they're talking about there's women that reach about the age 50 and all of a sudden they just disappear and they don't know why. And, you know, either they go and they work part time or they quit and they retire early because they're having so many symptoms of menopause that are impacting them, but they don't want to share that. And so, yeah. And I think the statistic I heard was that pretty much all women will have some symptoms of menopause, but most of them will have significant, I think it was 75% maybe I heard, that will have significant menopause symptoms. And so that's half of our population. Why aren't we spending more research on that? Why aren't we providing women with more support? So hopefully that changes.
I agree. That's huge. I literally just had a conversation on yesterday. I'm working on a menopause series with an OBGYN. She said that there is so much, we're working off of dated information. There's leaps and bounds of things that aren't being shared with us. And we do need to be educated on how to advocate ourselves with doctors. And she said, we just need to, she said, if that's the one thing she could tap her colleagues on is that. And so I hope to be bringing more information to all of you about that as well, because it's major. I mean, and then we also talked about there's some lesser known symptoms, things that you just kind of say, well, that must be nothing. I'll suffer in silence when it actually is attributed to menopause. So that's important. I'm so glad you brought that up, Shannon. And we're going to do a deep dive on that next month. So hope you guys will come back and all of you that are watching that you'll tune back in for that. But this conversation has been amazing. Thank you both. You both have given so many insightful things for us to think about, to reflect on, to implement. I love the fact that you both wanted to drill down. Self-care is not a one-off, y'all. It's a daily practice. You've got to really start to put that in your day, just like you do when you get up and comb your hair or brush your teeth. I mean, you've got to incorporate ways of how you're going to implement some self-care for yourself. Because listen, you know, we wear lots of hats. And, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself holistically, we talked about that, mind, body, soul, it's going to manifest itself in ways and you're not going to be your best self. And that is not what we want for ourselves. And so, ladies, thank you so much. This conversation has been amazing.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to take this time to let you both talk about some things that you have going on, some projects or something that you're going to promote. How can we support you and find you on social media? Andrea, we'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram. It's reclaim_rise. And what I have coming up, I have a retreat in May, and it's for women that are going through a major life transition. So divorce, changing a job, anything big. It's in Southern Utah. So that's the first week in May. And then, yeah, on Instagram is where I usually hang out.
Okay, perfect. And Shannon?
Yes. So I am on LinkedIn under Shannon Dentice. I am on Facebook. You can look for E&E Health Coaching. The E's are empowered and encouraged. And then I'm also on Instagram under Shannon Dentice. But my website is where you can find more information about my programs. And you can also sign up for a free guide that walks you through 5 simple steps you can take in the morning to provide you energy throughout the day. And they're designed to be done within 30 minutes or less, so that, you know, it's meant for the busy individual. And my website is eandehealthcoaching.com. And I think that's in the notes as well for you.
Yeah, it's in the ticker. Yeah, right below, guys. And also, I am going to pin those in the comments so that you all can have that. And so I just, again, want to say thank you to both of you ladies for being here with me today and for talking on this very important topic. Any last words before we close?
No, just thanks for having us. Yeah.
Welcome. You're welcome.
I think it's an important conversation. So
great.
Very much so. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you again, ladies. And for all of you that are watching us on YouTube, or if you're listening on the audio podcast, thank you for tuning in. I encourage you, if you're on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, share, and comment. Let us know what your thoughts are. What are some of the ways that you implement self-care? Any questions that you may have and feedback, please put those in the comments. And again, thank you all for tuning in. And we're going to bid you guys a goodbye. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.